Hi guys, welcome to the next episode of Level Up. I'm here with Andrew Parsons to give the latest on the Dream Build Play developer competition. Welcome, Andrew.
Thanks, Stacey. But before we actually talk about my contest, I want to talk about this show, because last time I was here in the studio with you talking about my contest here, the badge back here was .game, and we were talking about game development. This is Level Up. It looks a little different. What's going on?
Yeah, so we've decided to merge Level Up and .game to create a single show where you can find all the information related to game development. So under the Level Up umbrella, you'll still find the tutorials and development material that I've traditionally created in the past. You'll also still find the stuff that Katie Stone Perez has done in the past around marketing and how to market your game and other awesome videos. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, so
that actually totally makes sense. That's great.
Well, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, well, so am I now. That's awesome. So I'm glad I'm here on Level Up talking about Dream Build Play to you guys. The contest is doing great. Just a reminder, we have till December 31st for you as an indie developer to actually submit your game into the contest. There's four categories: PC, Xbox, mixed reality, and games that use Azure. And we've already got quite a few of you who have registered. We've had over 4,500 developers, creators, wow, audio engineers, and artists register on the site. Now that's step one, right? Step two, and this is, I'm pointing at all you guys who've created those those registrations, but not created a public profile. Because when we go into the website, we'll see we have around 800 of you who've created public profiles. That means you've listed out where you're from, how people can connect with you, and crucially, what skills you have and what games you've created. And so when we do that, when you guys do that, you'll be able to connect with other people, you'll be able to find each other's games, and be able to find people who have similar skills to you, or maybe skills that you're looking for that you'll be able to partner with or collaborate with. Do that. Now, you need to do it, because for the contest, you have to have that public profile, and you have to have a game profile for your game as well. So when you build your profile in the community, you also add the games, right? And so with a game, I'm going to go to Sweden, one of my favorite countries. I was there for a Nordic game just earlier. And pick on a profile, right? Yeah. Why not? Let's pick Bjorn. And so this is what you get when you create a profile. You get the ability to add all your skills. You can add connection points as well, like Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever else, Discord, Audacity. And you get to profile your games. And this is where I'm going to pass over to you in a second, Stacey, because when you create a game profile, not only do you classify its genre, what platforms it's being built on, a description and ways to find that game. This one's got a Facebook page. But you also get to submit for up to 5 screenshots and a video, a game trailer. And so this game here, Torin, has that. It has the 5 screenshots.
No, this one looks really nice.
Yeah, and then ultimately has its trailer as well, so you can actually check it out. That means other people can find your stuff, and it also opens up the way for developers to be able to collaborate with each other, right?
Yep, very important.
Now, all of that stuff is required as a valid entry in the Dream Build Play contest. So that's why they need to create that stuff. That's why you all need to do that.
So, taking a step back, in order for them to actually submit their game on the 31st, they have to have those created on the website?
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, coincidentally, they also have to have the game submitted into the store.
Right. Very important.
Right?
Yes.
And I know in just a minute you're going to talk about that. And so what's really cool is these assets that you're creating for the contest directly translate to things that you need to do to have a successful entry in the store as well, to be a successful published game. The last thing I want to show just the audience here about Dream Build Play and how it's going is just this little snapshot. We have almost 100 countries that have developers and creators registered in the contest.
Wow.
Now these are only the people who've created a public profile. If you're registered but you haven't created a public profile, we are not showing you here because you haven't put that out there yet. But of the 800 odd people who've put that stuff in, look at this list, right? And we can say things like, hey, what does Sweden, Bangladesh, and Zimbabwe have in common? Mm-hmm. They all have game people in Dream Build Play. Isn't that cool? So 100 countries already. So get in there, get your profile up. You need to have it because remember, December 31st, and it can take a little while to get it from when you're ready to being in the store. So on that.
So, well, let's talk a little bit about the store. So when you say being on the store, you mean published, live, available?
Published, not necessarily available. You can publish it as a private beta, which is a cool thing you can do in the store. You can actually publish it as a private entry in the Windows Store and then have only those people that you give permission the ability to actually download the game. And so what we'd ask for is, if you weren't quite ready, if you're just doing a vertical slice, or you're sort of saying, my game's looking great, but it's not finished for whatever reason, publish it as a private beta, and then give our judges the access to that. We'll give you the instructions to who they are, and then we'll be able to download that, assess it, and judge it accordingly, and then you can continue development of your game until you're ready for a public launch.
Okay, so you can still submit something that's kind of considered in beta for consideration at the end of the competition. You 100%. Don't have to be 100% finished.
Correct.
Got it. Do you happen to know, I don't know the answer to this, do you happen to know whether or not in order to do the beta, you have to pass certification in the store? I would assume not, because you're not actually releasing.
If you, in the store, regardless of whether it's a private beta or not, you have to pass basically the WAC, right?
The WAC is, I don't recall what that stands for.
Windows Application Certification Kit.
Thank you.
you have to pass certification because it's in the store. It's basically, the reason why we have that is to make sure your code doesn't have anything malicious or anything dangerous in it. And that's the only certification you have. And we have that. We apply that regardless of what state your app is in.
So that's the only certification that you have as part of that. But I know, so for example, if somebody's doing a creator's collection game and you are kind of going to the end of the release, you do have to go through a manual certification where somebody will actually play your game and make sure that it doesn't crash and that, you know, things are working. I'm assuming that part of the certification isn't applied for
Correct.
The beta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. So let's actually talk about the store a little bit.
Yeah.
So I can't stress enough kind of thinking ahead a little bit forward towards what your store profile is going to look like. So I know from past experience that I've gone through making a game and putting all of that work in, and by the time I'm ready to do a store submission, I'm tired, I want it out there, and I don't even want to think about getting screenshots and putting together a trailer and writing descriptions and words and all of that. And it's kind of the thing that you think the littlest about because you're enjoying so much on the game development and the front end of it. So
words are hard.
Yeah, words are hard. So I cannot stress enough, especially now, start thinking about creating your store profile and what your game is actually going to look like. Start putting together screenshots. If you have the resources, start putting together a trailer. Is a trailer required?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Make sure that you put together a trailer. I've actually found a lot of good resources in the past about creating good game trailers. I'll try and dig those up and put them as a item underneath the description so that you can kind of get a good feel for it. In my opinion, game trailers are hard to create. I've yet to master it. Mine are not that great. Okay, so jumping to the store, I have a creator's demo game that I'm kind of working on for other purposes. There's really nothing here in terms of set up in terms for the profile, but I wanted to give just a very quick overview of some of the process that you'll do. So first, if you're interested in putting Xbox Live in your game, which is needed 100% for if you're going to the console, you'll do that by going under Services and then Xbox Live. So you go to the Windows dashboard. Again, I'll have a link there, and this is where I'm working from. But if you click on the Xbox Live node, it's going to take you to a page. And this is the Xbox Live Creators Program page. So it's going to give you a lot of good information. Some of it will, or one thing is pointing you towards the documentation, which is super helpful, and it kind of walks you through the steps that you need to do. So at a bare minimum, in order to pass certification and be put on the console for Xbox Live, so you need to make sure that you put Xbox Live in the game and that you offer the ability for a user with an Xbox Live profile to sign in, and that if they do sign in, you're displaying their gamer tag presence in your game. And the purpose of that is so that they can confirm that they've signed in with the right account. Otherwise, you're kind of flying blind and you're not entirely sure, and it's just kind of a weird experience. So,
can they format that however they like?
The gamer tag?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, I believe you have the freedom to do it. You can include the picture and then the tag. And if you're using the Unity plugin, we have a prefab that you can just drag and drop into the scene. And you can use that, but you can kind of manipulate and alter it. The key thing that you're doing is you're showing their tag, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important piece of information that you have to make sure is there.
Right.
Okay, so if you're on this page and you want to enable it, you click the enable button, you would type in the name of your game. In this case, I'm going to do Xbox Live Creators Demo. And then I'm going to pick Xbox One and desktop. So the nice thing about creating a creator's game is you're creating UWP. Nice thing about this competition, too. Which basically means you can take that one binary and deploy it to both spots.
And I keep telling people, I've been presenting all around the world, like Singapore and stuff, about things like this, publishing games to our platform.
Yeah.
And I said, and it's literally just check boxes. I want it on Xbox. I want it on Windows. Check this out, right? That's exactly what I'm talking about. Check boxes.
All of you people, look, I wasn't lying. The important thing, though, to try and remember is while you do have a UWP game that you're able to deploy to multiple platforms, the user experience can differ from platform to platform. So you do want to take that into consideration. For example, you might decide on desktop that you support both keyboard, mouse, and maybe you want to do Xbox One controller. But if you're deploying to a console, you're obviously limited to using the controller. And then on top of that, you need to account for screen space, which renders slightly different. So you want to actually bring your UI in a hair so that it's not getting cut off by the screen itself. So there are a little bit of nuances that you want to try and keep in mind, but it's still nothing compared to having to build multiple versions of your game in order to target multiple platforms. That's still very simple. Okay, so I'm going to hit confirm. Probably should have said all of that while we were waiting for this to go through and talk to the Xbox Live service. hopefully it goes through fairly quick. I am not plugged in, so we will see.
What are some of the other things they can add through Creators Program for Xbox?
I'm glad you asked that. So one of the other things that's super awesome about the Creators Program is that you can do stats and leaderboards. So you can have up to 20 what they're known as featured stats in your game. And you have 20 per person and write those up and then actually generate leaderboards based off of them.
Can you give me an example of what a stat might be?
That's a good question. It's hitting me on my toes here.
Well, let me think. I'm building a puzzle game and every level has like 3 stars. Can I track how many stars total a player has? Is that a stat I could do?
Yeah, you could track that if that was feeding into something in your game. I'm actually working on a creator's game right now. I actually went and revisited really old code. I do not know what past me was thinking.
Don't do that.
I've been rewriting it for days, but it was quite fascinating to see what I thought about, because it was one of the first games that I had made and kind of thinking through or seeing my thought process originally. I know why I did what I did, but it was silly. Anyway, so I've kind of gone through creating it. But in that one, a stat that I'm planning on implementing is it's kind of a borderline like an endless runner type game.
Right.
But it's basically like, what's your score? And in this one, you're earning money as part of it. So your score is as like a double. That's kind of being saved. But the end track would be like, or the end statistic would be like, A, how long did you play for? And B, what was your final score that you did? And then another one that I could also track if I wanted was, because you have speeds, you know, where you normal, medium, or hard speed, things like that can kind of maybe feed into it. I don't know that I'll do the speed one, but definitely like the score
That's
one.
That's cool. So
stats, stats is a great one.
That's excellent.
And actually, so speaking of which, so it looks like we have
right there.
I know, registered with it. So one of the first things that you kind of see is stats. So if you do have stats that you want to configure and you want to set up the leaderboard, it's pretty easy. You click new, put your display name in, click your ID. So this would be what you would actually reference in your game code. And then you can kind of set your format and then really how you want the leaderboard to sort high or low. So each stat is automatically kind of associated with a leaderboard. So I'm going to skip doing that because the couple things that I want to talk about. The other thing to kind of come back to you, what else can you do, is cloud saves. So if you want to save your progress up in the cloud, you can do that through Xbox Live, which is super handy. You can also obviously localize for different languages. But the key thing that I really, really want to talk about is a couple pitfalls that we've seen developers run into as they're starting to integrate Xbox Live. So we're kind of working on making this experience a little bit better, but in the meantime, the most important thing that you have to kind of remember is, even though you've enabled Xbox Live in your game, you still haven't published a configuration file up to Xbox Live. So it's enabled on the back end, but it doesn't know what properties you've set for your game as far as the service is concerned.
Okay.
So what you need to do after you've hit the enable button is actually scroll down to this test section, because this is where it would kind of handle publishing your what's known as your Xbox Live service config up into the cloud. So to do that, you really just hit the test button, and it's going to go through and it's going to publish kind of the initial set of stuff. So I've not really set anything. All I'm doing is publishing my kind of my base configuration file. If you don't do this, if you skip this process and say you go through the game and you've integrated Xbox Live in and you've done sign in and you deploy and you go to try and sign in, it'll fail. It'll topple over because there's no service config for it to talk to.
Right.
So that's what one of the main things that I think people kind of first run into. The next that I'll show you so is around setting up test accounts. So right now, to put this in kind of very simplistic, you work in a sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is you're deploying a configuration to your specific sandbox, which you can kind of see at the top of the screen. This is the sandbox that I have for this game. So right now, what I just deployed lives in this environment. It doesn't live in what's known as retail, AKA public to people. So in order for you to be able to access your game in retail, you actually need to configure what accounts are able to do it. Think of this as like kind of security permissions, right? I don't want Andrew accessing my game until I've told him it's acceptable to do so.
Right.
So in order to do that, you need to configure your test accounts. And you can do that by clicking Authorize Xbox Live Test Accounts. It's going to open up another tab. And in here, you'll just add an account. So it's an existing Microsoft account. So I could put your, you know, Outlook on there. And even, so I'm talking more about giving you access. You actually need to give yourself access.
Right.
So I would put my account on there.
That would be sad, right?
Yeah. That I would use for Xbox Live would get entered in here. So you would just enter it, hit OK, and then or hit Add. And then when you go to actually sign into your game after you've deployed your UWP or built your UWP, you would be able to do it as long as you're in the right sandbox. So we have, I'm not going to touch on that because I we have documentation that kind of talks about switching sandboxes.
Okay.
And I actually don't have it loaded up on this laptop, but you want to make sure that you're in the same sandbox as the environment. So if you're working in Unity, it's literally just a button click that you say, go into developer sandbox, and it'll go through and run it. But if you're not in Unity, we have a set of documentation and basically like four different ways that you can do it.
Right.
So those are kind of the main things that I want to talk about. Make sure you publish your config, your Xbox Live service config, and make sure you add your test accounts before you even try to sign in. Otherwise, it's going to not work. The other thing is, if you publish your Xbox Live service config and then you decide that you do want to do leaderboards and statistics, and you go and you add them into this portal, make sure you republish. Otherwise, it's not going to know that you set them up and it's still not going to work. So basically, anytime you make a change to this portal, or this section of the portal, make
retest.
Sure, yeah, make sure you're republishing your config.
Got it. So that looks awesome, right? I haven't actually sort of gone through this particular process before. I talk about it a lot, but I haven't actually seen that in action. So that's really fantastic. I love the fact that we do cloud saves and the leaderboards and statistics as just something that you can do in Creators Program.
Yeah.
And I see, you know, well, maybe in another video we can do like the submission process for some of the people who are in Dream Build Play who haven't done it before.
Yeah.
But you know, as we were talking before, the screenshots and the video and the category and the description, all that stuff that you need to do for the Dream Build Play contest is directly translatable to what you need to put in for a successful entry in the store as well. So we've done that on purpose because we wanted to make you guys set up for success. So make sure you do that, and maybe we'll do that next time.
Yeah, I think that sounds good.
Cool.
It'd be a good timing, too, to kind of talk about it since it'll be at the beginning of December. So,
yeah.
Just a reminder, you have until December 31st to get your game in, so do not wait.
Yeah.
And remember
please,
that.
Please, don't wait.
Don't wait. And remember that after you've gone through the store and you kind of uploaded your game, you can make changes to it. So it's good to start that process sooner rather than later and then just upload kind of a newer version as you're getting to it, but get that part of the process out of the way.
That's a really good point. Update as often as you like. Update every day if you want. Just get it up there first and then iterate.
Yep. All right.
Great.
Well, thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, level up. I'll remember for next time.
All right. See you later, guys.
See ya.